We're going to, in this hour, consider the two houses of Israel. We're going to first say why we're discussing the topic, and then we'll get rid of just a little bit of the echo here. Is that better? And we'll see how these houses of Israel are designated in the scriptures, what they're called. They're called various names. And we'll go over a little bit of fleshly Israel's history, not detail, but some points in particular we want to cover. We'll note that the fleshly foreshadows the spiritual of the houses, the fleshly house and spiritual house. We haven't defined those yet, but we'll see them. And then we'll talk about the faithful remnant classes of each of these houses, and then the transfer between the two houses. And we'll sum up with Israel's favor restored. So going on to the next, we'll first talk about why we're discussing the subject. You know, last week a question was put forth from the class, and we struggled a little bit with trying to answer that question. It seems the specific details of the truth slip from our minds, and especially as we get older. And you know, everyone's here is older except for Enver and Janelle. So you understand that. I'm reminded of a time when Brother Russell was asked a question, and he was unable to answer it on the spot. He said, "I'm going to have to look that up." And later he came back with the answer, saying, "It was right there in the volumes." And that's where we found the answer to the question. I think we were on to it for the most part, but hopefully we gained a little clarity in going back and reviewing it. It's interesting that elements of this topic are in all six of the volumes. We're not going to quote from volume 4, but we will reference one of the items that is in there, but we're actually quoting from volumes 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 today. And we'll quote and we'll give the scriptural support for what Brother Russell understood on the topic. So we'll move on then, or we've already moved on. In volume 2, page 204, paragraph 2, Brother Russell says, "Paul designates the Jewish church Israel after the flesh, and the Christian church the Israel of God. We may therefore properly designate them fleshly Israel and fleshly and spiritual Israel." Next slide. And here are the texts of Scripture. For fleshly Israel, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 18, "Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" And spiritual Israel, Galatians 6:16, "As many as may walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Now, again from volume 2, page 213, paragraph 2, Brother Russell says, "Fleshly Israel, like spiritual Israel, was called of God to be his peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto him above all other people, the one an earthly treasure and a type of the other, which is the heavenly treasure. Separated from the world, they were recipients of special favor from God for 1845 years. Well, that's both houses are recipients of favor from God for 1845 years. And the scriptures for an holy people, Deuteronomy 14:2, "For thou art and holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. And a holy nation in terms of the spiritual. 1 Peter 2:9-10, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Next slide. Then, again, this time from volume 1, page 71, paragraph 3, our Lord says, Jesus performed his miracles and taught in their midst, and would neither go to others himself, nor permit his disciples to go to the surrounding nations. Next slide. And on volume 1 again, page 83:1, in an ordinary building, there is no chief cornerstone, and on our building, there is one chief cornerstone, the top stone, as it was written, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Next slide. So we have a house of Israel and a spiritual house. Matthew 15:24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, spiritual as spurious. The church does not sacrifice spiritual things, they sacrifice fleshly, their perfect human life rights. From volume 6, page 365, paragraph 2, Brother Russell says, Moses verily was faithful as a servant over all his house. And that household of servants was properly under the Mosaic law, added because of transgressions. And then continuing in the paragraph, he says, Jesus became the firstborn of many brethren, the head of the new creation, the head of the new house of sons. Next slide. So we have house of servants versus house of sons. Hebrews 5:6, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. From volume 2, page 205, paragraph 2, Brother Russell says, the head of the fleshly house was Jacob, surnamed Israel, a prince, and through his 12 sons he founded the house which bore his name, the house of Jacob, the house of Israel. So with the spiritual house, its founder Christ established it through the 12 apostles, and this house also bears the name of its founder, the Church of Christ. Next slide. And continuing in that paragraph, the scriptures clearly mark these two houses of Israel as being the fleshly seed of Abraham and the spiritual seed of Jehovah, the Heavenly Father, whom Abraham typified. Now, I don't believe that I've ever noted this particular statement in the volumes. You know, I've studied them many times over the years, and yet there's a sentence that stands out to you that you never particularly noticed before. I've certainly appreciated the principles behind the statement. Jacob was Abraham's grandson, begotten of his father Isaac, who was in turn begotten of his father Abraham. But we, brethren, are spirit begotten by our heavenly Father, and not any earthly father. So, it's a spiritual seed of Abraham because Abraham typified Jehovah in the picture. really appreciated that thought. Now we see then that both the sand seed and the star seed were promised seeds. The sand seed begotten through the flesh, but the star seed begotten through the Spirit. And we want to note particularly that these seeds did not come into being at the time of the promise, but later in time. Not until Jacob died did the sand seed come into existence, and not until our Lord died did the star seed come into existence. So our scriptures, the fleshly seed, John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And now we know, brethren, that later on in the context, our Lord said that they were the father of their devil, the devil. And we don't believe that Jesus is disputing that they were the descendants of Abraham. But rather, what he was saying, in effect, was the scribes and Pharisees were like adopted children. They were being raised by a different parent, not their birth parents, but because they had adopted, if you will, the adversary as their father. They were opposing God just like the adversary did, and they were denying the Son of God. So Abraham was indeed only the father of the faithful in the promised seed aspect. Next, I didn't read the other spiritual side. John 20, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Next slide. So here we have the five different ways the scriptures picture these two houses. Fleshly Israel, spiritual Israel, holy people, holy nation, house of Israel, spiritual house, house of servants, house of sons, fleshly seed, spiritual seed. And from volume 1, page 97, paragraph 1, this people alone was recognized until Christ came. Yes, and afterwards, for his ministry was confined to them, and he would not permit his disciples to go to others. We want to remember the fleshly house comes into existence at the death of Jacob. I mentioned that before, in 1813 B.C., when God commenced dealing with the 12 tribes of Israel as a nation. Before this time, he dealt with the patriarchs as individuals. Next slide. Scripture text, Amos 3, verses 1 and 2. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, ye only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Next. From volume 2, page 214, paragraph 1, Brother Russell says, during their long period, 1845 years of national favor, during which other nations were ignored, Israel had chastisements and blessings combined. But even their chastisements for sins were evidences and elements of God's favor and fatherly care over them. He sent trouble upon them and frequently allowed them to be carried away into captivity when they forgot and disobeyed him. Yet when they repented and cried unto the Lord, he always heard and delivered them. Psalms 106, verses 41 to 45. And he gave them into the hands of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Volume 2, page 87, paragraph 4. Brother Russell says, turning to Leviticus, we find recorded blessings and cursings of an earthly and temporal character. If Israel would obey God faithfully, they would be blessed above other nations. If not, certain evils would befall them. Leviticus 26, verses 27 and 28. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. From volume 2, page 87, paragraph 3, our Lord's words, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, not only suggest a limit and definite period of Gentile dominion, but also suggests the thought that these times are somehow connected with and measured upon the earthly city, Jerusalem, and the fleshly house of Israel. Luke 21, verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times the Gentiles be fulfilled. From volume 2, page 208, paragraph 2, Brother Russell says, fleshly Israel was taken captive into literal Babylon, which was built upon the literal river Euphrates, while in the gospel age, mystic or figurative Babylon, which carried away captive spiritual Israel, is portrayed as sitting upon the mystic Euphrates. In the type, the golden vessels of the temple were carried away and profaned by literal Babylon. In the inner type, the precious divine golden truths pertaining to the service of the true temple, the church, were perverted and misapplied by mystic Babylon. Next slide. Now, we've drawn a little chart here because we wanted to point out in particular that the Gentile times is what we've been talking about. And that was a punishment or chastisement that actually laps over the whole spiritual, the period of their dislabor, the whole spiritual Israel house time, and actually into, you know, the beginning of their return favor. So this is not a disfavor. This is a punishment, a chastisement, but not the disfavor. And it goes from 606 B.C. to 1914. Israel continued in God's favor even while being subject to the Gentile dominions. This punishment upon Israel began, but God continued to send them prophets, right up to John the Baptist, and finally even his son Jesus. The times of Gentiles actually completely lapse over the period of their disfavor and into the time that God's favor is restored to them. Volume 2, page 228, paragraph 3. While thus noting Israel's fall from favor and their consequent loss and the cause of all this, let us not forget that in this they also foreshadowed nominal spiritual Israel, and that the same prophets have foretold the stumbling and fall of both the houses of Israel. Isaiah 8:14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then from volume 2, page 205, paragraph 1, Brother Russell says, of the fleshly house, Paul said, they are not all Israel, which are nominally of Israel. And our Lord recognized the same fact when of Nathanael he said, behold an Israelite indeed, whom there is no guile. And also when in the time of harvest he separated the real from the nominal and called the former valuable wheat and the latter mere chaff, though comparatively the wheat was only a handful and the chaff included nearly all of that nation. I think that mic is on. Matthew 3:12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now the picture in regard to the spiritual house is similar. The wheat, from volume 2, page 205, paragraph 1, the wheat, a comparatively small number of little flock, will be separated from the masses of nominal spiritual Israel, while the great majority, being tares and not real wheat, will be rejected as unworthy of the chief favor to which they were called and will not be counted among the Lord's jewels. Matthew 13:30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. From volume 2, page 70, paragraph 2, the pastor says that the Israelites as a nation were not fit to be the recipients of the chief or spiritual favor, nor of the earthly favor either, was demonstrated by the rejection of Messiah, as God had foreseen and foretold. Hence it was profitless to them to continue their national testing beyond the midst of their 70th week. And it was cut short there when they were left desolate, rejected from favor. Luke 13:34-35, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Volume 2, again, page 240, paragraph 3. The great nominal mass in both houses fail to recognize their visitation because overcharged and lukewarm, neglecting the command to take heed and watch. Thus will be fulfilled the prediction by the prophet, he shall be for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. Luke 19:43-44, for the days shall come upon thee that time enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Well, you know, the point there is that they didn't recognize the Lord's presence. And that was true at the first advent with the nation of Israel, and it's true of the second advent in the nominal churches. We'll pick up on that point again when we get into to. Further in the lesson. Volume 3, page 153-1, The Fall, Plagues, Destruction, etc., foretold to come upon Mystic Babylon were foreshadowed in the great trouble and national destruction which came upon fleshly Israel, and which ended with a complete overthrow of that nation in A.D. 70. And the period of falling also corresponds, or from the time of our Lord said, your house was left on you desolate, A.D. 33 to A.D. 70 was 36 and a half years. And so from A.D. 78, 1878 to the end of A.D. 1914 is also 36 and a half years. Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Volume 2, page 26, paragraph 2. We'll begin to talk now about the faithful remnant classes. It should be borne in mind that fleshly Israel, except the friends of God, stumbled and knew not the time of their visitation, and that the prophet has foretold the stumbling of both houses of Israel, the nominal Jewish house and the nominal Christian house. See, this was the point we were bringing up, and I didn't emphasize it, but these two houses have both a real and a nominal part to them. The faithful being the real part and the nominal being the vast majority. Only a remnant in the close or harvest of each dispensation is prepared to receive and appreciate the truths then due, and therefore to enter into the special privileges and blessings of the dawning dispensation. Only a remnant is prepared to receive and appreciate truths and to enter into the special privileges and blessings of the dawning creation. Very important point. Volume 2, again, page 236, Brother Russell says, and the favor which was continued to individual Israelites after the nominal house was cut off from favor was not intended to convert and reform their nominal church system, nor granted in the hope of changing their chaff into wheat, but was intended merely to separate and garner every grain of ripe wheat. So in this harvest, that is the harvest of the gospel age, the object of the continued and abounding favor of the light of truth of the present is not designed to convert whole sects or to work national reforms, but on the contrary, to separate completely the wheat class from the tare class. Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Remember, Brother Russell makes the point that the two tests that were failed by both the Jewish nominal and the Christian nominal houses was the presence and the cross. Understanding the Lord's presence and sacrifice, willingness to sacrifice. There's a sacrificial aspect to being a Christian. Next slide. Back a few slides, I've failed to make a point that I want to go back to here. We'll go back to slide 38 there. This was in the days of the kings. It was a national polity, the church-state systems that are destroyed, and not the people. The Jews as a nominal religious people continue to exist. And in like manner, the tares of the gospel age continue to exist as a nominal religious people. But the power of the national rulers of Israel and the kings of Christendom to enforce their religious beliefs upon the people was completely destroyed. The civil and the ecclesiastical were broken apart. They no longer had the civil support. Doesn't mean some of the religious systems didn't try to still be forceful, but we know, it's evident in our day, that the congregation of churches do as they very well please, and not according to the dogmas of the church. And the dogmas of the church have been greatly softened. Hellfire is no longer flaming in the vast majority of Christianity and so forth. The Trinity is about the only thing that is really fairly substantially held still. And even that is beginning to have inroads of those that don't accept it. Now we can go back to wherever we were. Okay, volume 2, page 229, paragraph 2. We should expect the order here would be as in the typical Jewish harvest, a separating work, fulfilling the words of the prophet, gather my saints together, me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And as AD 33 marked the giving over of the nominal Jewish house as a system to disfavor, disruption, and overthrow, so the corresponding date, 1878, marked the beginning of the disfavor, disruption, and overthrow of nominal spiritual Israel. Psalms 50, verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Volume 3, page 179, paragraph 2. And as the Lord rejected, cut off, and cast away from favor into a fire of trouble many of the natural branches of the olive tree, preserving only the Israelites indeed as branches, do we not see that the harvest of this age, the same wisdom tests the wild branches also, and cuts off from favor and fatness of the root the Abrahamic promise, this great mass of professed branches? We see only those that are being faithful are maintained in the to the promise, the Abrahamic promise seed classes. Romans 11:21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, we'll move then into the transfer to the grace covenant. Volume 3, page 169, paragraph 3, I think that's about where we are in our third volume. The 70 weeks, 490 years of divine favor promised the Jewish people could not fail of fulfillment. And hence, in no sense could Gentiles or even Samaritans be invited to become disciples, or in any sense to be associated with the kingdom which Christ and the apostles preached. Acts 13:6. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, speaking to the Jews, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Volume 6, page 177, paragraph 1. The apostle shows how Israel had much advantage every way over all the surrounding nations of the world, that to them pertain the promises. While the entire nation was originally elected to receive God's choicest favors, nevertheless, only the faithful would be in the proper condition of heart to become spiritual Israelites when the time should come for his favor. Such were permitted to enter the higher dispensation, passing out of the house of servants into the house of sons. John 1, verses 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I think we're getting into the crux of the matter now. The Abrahamic promise was that in his seed would all the families of the earth be blessed. We have the advantage of hindsight from our time that we know the details of what those seeds were going to be. The house of sons was unknown until the beloved son was manifested in the flesh and redeemed the world and granted to those who accept him the opportunity to receive the adoption of sons. The Jewish nation hadn't the faintest idea of a spiritual seed. The only thing that would hint at that was a star seed versus a sand seed. But they had no idea how this was to be brought to pass. They were looking for a deliverer, a general, who would free them from bondage of Babylon or Rome. They had no concept of spiritual hopes. Indeed, they weren't even known. Next slide. Galatians 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Again, this is a real key point involved with this business of the transfer of the grace covenant. He comes at his second advent, volume 5, page 137, paragraph 2. He comes at his second advent to lift up mankind by process of restitution and to give eternal life and all the privileges and blessings lost through the first Adam. The interim time between the first and second advents is devoted, according to the Father's program, to the selection from amongst the redeemed world of a class whose qualifications were predestined, that they should be all copies. They should all be copies of God's dear Son. And we'll read the scripture. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the point is that the predestination had to do with the qualifications, not the individuals. Not the individuals of fleshly Israel, and not the individuals of the Christian church. What was predestinated was you had to be a copy of the beloved Son. You had to be conformed to his image. Now, a rhetorical question. If you reject the Messiah, how could you ever expect to be an image of him? That is why the nation was cast off. They rejected. They rejected that which they were to be copies of. Next slide. Volume 2, page 210, paragraph 1. Paul tells us that God has cast off fleshly house from favor during the time of the selection of the spiritual house. And then when the spiritual house has been selected, then God's favor will return to the fleshly house. Romans 11:25. For I would, brethren, that ye should not, that ye should be, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Volume 1, page 269, verse, or paragraph 3. Concerning the future glory of the earthly phase of the kingdom as represented in Jerusalem, the prophets speak in glowing terms. And one such prophet was Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Next slide. Volume 2, page 92, paragraph 1. They have never yet enjoyed these promised blessings, and that covenant will not be fulfilled until the elect gospel church, the body of Christ, has been perfected as their deliverer, through whom the covenant will be put into operation. And the final verse of our lesson, Hebrews 10, 16 and 7. This 17, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So, fleshly Israel will be restored and become the blesser seed. And the real crux of understanding this transfer is to appreciate it's involved with the systems. So we had the Jewish system, national polity, that was destroyed here, and over here we have the national policy of the kings, the Christendom. And Christendom ended in 1914 with the kings being overthrown. We still have kingdoms, we still have churches, but we do not have church-state polity. And just as Israelites after AD 70 could still come into the church, they just had to come, like the Gentile, they had to come in, they couldn't transfer, because that covenant period ended. It's just the same here. Those that the church still goes on to finish its completion because they were unfaithful during this gospel age growing season, if you will. There were those who were unfaithful, and replacement crowns had to be found. So if you can separate that activity that relates to the gospel age, then it's a little easier to understand these issues. So may the Lord add his blessing. And Chairman.